Monday morning, as I woke, the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I know His voice, and what He said to me really got me thinking. He asked me a question. I'll let you know what that question was in a moment. But I didn't want to answer right away because of the richness of it. You say, does God still talk to people today? Yes, He does. And He spoke to me very clearly. One time Jesus asked Peter a question. Who do men say that I am? This question that he asked me, I didn't want to answer right away. I know the proverb says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, to him it is folly. And because of the seriousness of the question, I knew I should do some praying and studying about it. But I have my answer. Would you like to know what he said? What are you going to say, no? The Lord asked me, what is more important, character or faith? When I heard that, I thought, wow, there was an awe that came over me. I told my wife, I said, honey, the Lord spoke to me this morning, said to me, and I shared with her what I've shared with you. After much contemplating Scripture, I came to my answer. And the answer is faith is more important than character. And that's not to say character is not important or integrity is not important. Jesus said to the Pharisees, one of the faults that they had was they majored on the minor and minored on the major. He said, you tithe to the mint and cumin, and you should have done that. You should be tithing. You should be tithing. That's biblical. But he said, the weightier matters, the more important matters of the law, you're not paying much attention to. Mercy, judgment, and faith. These others you ought to have done, tithing, and not leave the other undone, but mercy and faith and judgment are more important than what you've been majoring on. I could make a great sermon on character. I could quote you from the Old Testament where Abimelech, when Sarah had been brought to him to be one of his ladies that would, never mind. And when God came to him, he said, you touch her, you're a dead man. And he said, whoa, I did this in the integrity of my heart. Yeah, I know it, but that's why I'm coming to you. And I can find many passages that deal with character, and they are important. So please don't take from this message that pastor thinks character is not important. It is very important. But what did Jesus emphasize more? Character? Or faith? And the answer is faith. When Peter stepped out of the boat and was walking, and thank you, Brother Jim, for sharing about look unto him, that's faith. It's faith. Peter was doing real good until he took his eyes off of Jesus. Jesus did not say the reason you fell was because you lacked character. You fell because you lacked faith. It says that they could not enter the promised land, not because of character, but because of lacking faith, unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's not a book about character. It's a book by faith, by faith, by faith. And Jesus' problem with the Pharisees is that they emphasize character, even though they didn't have it. They emphasized it above faith. And so before I answered the Lord, I began to take a look at the overall weight of Scripture. What is emphasized more? They're not in competition. Faith doesn't say to character, you're not important, and character doesn't say to faith, you're not important. They're both important. But which one is more important? We have in our vernacular, we say in our day, in our culture, their priorities were out of order. People, when it comes to our walk with God, what we emphasize is very important. Our priorities must not be out of order. We must emphasize faith more than we do character. And that's not a put down on character. The Bible says we walk by faith, not character. If you're thinking I'm saying character's not important, no. It says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It doesn't say without character. The point is, character, there's different levels of it. And perhaps one might argue with faith also. But it isn't our character, the Bible says, that pleases Him. It's our faith. And the thief on the cross, which has often been used, when he said to the Lord, after hearing the other fellow on the one of the three crosses make fun of Jesus and ridicule Him, he said, hey, what are you ridiculing Him for? We deserve this. In other words, those other two didn't have any character. But he looked at Jesus with faith and said, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, would you please remember me? It wasn't his character that got him what Jesus said next. But Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It was his faith. And perhaps, as it's often been said, if he could have gotten off of the cross, yes, character would begin to be developed. We are his workmanship. Last night, I really didn't know what I was going to do with this message. Because I thought, Lord, I don't even know what to use for a text, other than the text that you gave me when you spoke to me. What is more important, character or faith? And I wonder if there's anything on the internet that deals with this. In fact, I've never even preached on this. I've never heard a sermon on this. How many know it can be quite troublesome to preach on something you've never heard preached on? You're not helping me this day, I can tell. So I was a little bit, Lord, I've got my answer. But last night I looked on the internet and I asked the question, just as I heard it from the Lord, what is more important, character or faith? And I found an article, a two-page article, and I copied it, and I would like to read it to you, because some of his answers were the answers that I began to scribble down. And it's entitled, Joshua, Living Your Inheritance. Faith is more important than character. Joshua 2:9. So if those of us that are so traditional, we have to have a text, I'll give you one. Let's open to Joshua chapter 2. It is the wonderful story about Rahab, the wonderful woman of character. No, Rahab the harlot. And once you're branded with that name, you seldom get away from it. But we read in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8. And before they went laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. A lot of people are good at having the Lord of heaven, but what about the Lord of the earth? So let me share with you what I surprisingly and pleasantly found this article. What is more important, our character or our faith? Many people would think it's an open, honest, and trusting character that prompts one to faith, but actually the reverse is true. In the second part of Living Your Inheritance, Dr. Charles Price, by the way, I have his Golden Grain. I gave some of them to Mario, but Golden Grain, all those wonderful books. He was a wonderful evangelist in the Northwest, used mightily in a healing ministry. Dr. Charles Price tells us about a woman of ill repute, a prostitute named Rahab who had no qualms about lying or deceit. But it was her faith that transcended her character. Charles uses the analogy of an old, beat-up, worn $20 bill versus a crisp, clean, new one. Which is of more value? The value, of course, is the same. Rahab was a soiled and marked woman whom many would have devalued. In Scripture, she is introduced as Rahab the prostitute, and again in Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, referred to as Rahab the prostitute. In verse 25, Joshua calls her Rahab the prostitute. And the writer of Hebrews calls her Rahab the prostitute. And again in James chapter 2, verse 5, she is mentioned as Rahab the prostitute. This is an identity that is not going to let go of her. There are plenty of reasons why character becomes muddied and people are stigmatized and branded for life on the grounds of an unfortunate event that happened years ago. Rahab, it seems, is forever labeled the prostitute. But that was not the issue with God. It was her faith in Him. Hallelujah. He took notice of when Joshua sent two spies into the land of Canaan, particularly to stake out Jericho. It became known that spies had invaded the city. Victory over Jericho would be necessary if the Israelites were going to gain a foothold in the land, divide it through the middle, and go north and south from there. 38 years prior, Joshua had been one of 12 spies Moses sent out on a 40-day reconnaissance mission to find out about Canaan. They discovered the land was incredibly fertile. The people were many, well-equipped, and a great number of them appeared like giants. The cities were walled and strongly fortified. Only two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, agreed to move forward as they believed God's promise to give them the land. But they were outvoted 10-2, and the Israelites turned back. Here they are again on the east side of the River Jordan, and God had commissioned Joshua very simply. Now go into the land. The spies first entered the house of the prostitute, took Rahab into their confidence, and came to an agreement with her that if she would hide them, they would preserve her life and her entire family when they conquered the city. The people in Jericho were long aware that across the Jordan River was a nomadic tribe who had come across the desert. They had heard how God had parted the Red Sea for them and gave them victory over the Ammonites. Word was sent to the king of Jericho that spies had invaded the city, and he sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." And Rahab replied, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it came time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." That's found in Joshua chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. This was a blatant lie, as the next verse tells us. "But she had taken them up to her roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on her roof." Rahab would most likely have been accustomed to lying in order to protect the business she was in. But Scripture never justifies lying. Anything we may be tempted to lie about, we can be sure something poisonous is underneath. Lies are intended to deceive and are not in any way condoned in the Christian life. But in this next part, Rahab is completely open and honest. Before the spies went to sleep, she came to speak with them and said, "I know the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." For 40 years, the Israelites had been afraid of the inhabitants of Canaan, and now they discover the shoe is on the other foot. And Rahab tells them, "Why, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Ammonites, east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." It was not fear of the Israelite people, but the fear of their God, who Rahab exhorts as the God in heaven above and the earth below, that had the Canaanites melting in fear. She speaks of the Israelites' victory in the past tense as though God had already given them the land. But the spies are more reserved and not quite convinced. They tell her, "Our lies for your lives. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and fairly when the Lord gives us the land." In Rahab's mind, the land was already theirs, but the spies were speaking in uncertain future tense. The Israelites' problem was that for 40 years in the wilderness, they believed in the God of heaven, but not so much in the God of the earth. It takes the enemy to point out the victory already belonged to them. From our own perspectives, if God only knew in heaven above, we will become relegated to doctrinal systems and bullet points, but we'll know very little of His presence on earth or of His presence and working in our lives. Rahab then lowered the spies down by the rope to the window and told them to hide out in the hills for 3 days, which they did before reporting back to Joshua. As agreed upon, she hung a scarlet cord from her window as a sign for when the Israelites attacked, and the occupants of her home were spared and unharmed. This is reminiscent of the blood of the lamb smeared over the door frames of the Israelites' homes before the angel of death passed over in Egypt. It depicts safe and protected. It's a picture of salvation which we have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Back to the $20 bills. The crumpled one, or the crumpled worn one, and the crisp, clean one have the same value. What gives them their value? If you hold up the new bill to a light, you will see a watermark. And on the old bill, you will see a silver strip as well, giving the bills their authenticity and therefore their value. What is the watermark that gives Rahab, who was not an Israelite, what gives her equal value? What is the silver streak that runs through her? Hebrews 11:31 says, "By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." It was faith, not character. And God looks for that watermark, that silver streak of faith in all of us. There is not one chapter in the New Testament commending people of great character. But we find in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, a long list of men and women who were commended for their faith. On the grounds of character, there is no justification before God, but only on the grounds of faith. Character is not looking to God, but is simply behaving oneself. If character is more important to us, then we are likely to become Pharisaic. That is very true. If character is more important to us than faith, then we're going to end up just like the Pharisees, trying to keep the rules the best we can rather than becoming dependent upon God. It is active faith in Him that our lives are characterized by God. And our moral characters become increasingly derived from Him. You see, faith produces character. Character doesn't produce faith. Rahab and her family came to live among the Israelites. She was no longer a prostitute, but was incorporated into God's chosen people and married an Israelite named Salmon. Only once in Scripture is she separated from the stigma of being a prostitute. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, she is listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ and was the great-grandmother of King David. Faith is more important than character. Doesn't mean character is not important, but faith is. And the early church, the more I began to meditate upon this, they focused on building each other's faith up. If we're not careful, we become great character judges. I'm not saying we should be naive, but may we realize the importance should be on faith. Our conversations should be more about building up one another's faith than thinking we can develop character. God develops the character. I tried to develop character in people in White Sam for 23 years. It don't work. If I preach Jesus and lift Him up, then the character begins to take place. And because of that, this has been a great challenge to me as a pastor to build up your faith. And because of that, I am a great believer. How does one build up faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith to her, Rahab the harlot, came from the miracles that had happened. And it caused faith in her. We are justified by faith, not of works, not of character. The truth is, I wouldn't want to have to get to heaven depending on my character, and neither would you. I want to get to heaven based on, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. You see, the Pharisees focused too much on character, and it filled them full of pride. How many know that humility is what God is, what we're to have when we approach Him? And because of that, I just want to say what has built me up in the faith has often been the miracles that I have been humbled in to be part of, to experience. I remember the first time I was youth pastor, and I was out door knocking on a bus route when I stopped at a house and invited the two little children to come, and one of them, I took down their names if they would do it, and as I got back into my car, I remember one of the little children, probably 6-7 years of old, hollering out, "Mister, do you know anything? Do you know a doggy doctor?" And I said, that struck me. And I said, why? I said, because we have a sick dog. I didn't notice it when I was there. They had it in another room. I said, well, I do know a doggy doctor. They said, where? And I pointed up in the air. And their childlike faith, he got up and he looked. I said, no, you don't see him. And I remember going into the house. This is the first time this ever happened to me. And when I went in, there was a little weenie dog. And the little weenie dog, his eyes were shut. And they put him down and they'd say, watch. And they'd put an object in front of the dog and call him. The dog would hit the object. And they'd say, see, we don't like doing that, but we're showing you can't see. Nobody has the gift of healing. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But He does use people in it, some more than others. And I remember one time I said, well, the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It didn't say they had to be a people, just said they had to be sick. So I put my hand over the head. You put it on the tail. You put it on the paw. And you put it on his back. And we had the four of us. This poor little thing was totally smothered with hands. And I remember praying, and as I prayed, I felt a quickening shoot through my hand. You can't make that happen. And I had never experienced it, so I didn't know what to expect. But I looked to see if they felt what I felt, and I discerned that they did not feel the quickening I felt. And when I took my hand off, the dog's eyes opened. And I put it down, and the dog barked and started running around. And he healed that blind little dog. How many know that built my faith up? And that'll build our faith up. I could go on with 100 stories of seeing the miraculous of God that builds my faith. I always remember the time that I was going to have to preach at a church in Washougal. I lived in White Salmon. It was about 50 miles on the other side of Portland. When I'm watching the TV screen, and I see the TV screen move up, and a little boy was riding a bicycle, and I saw a car hit that boy. I thought, whoa, that's got to hurt. And my wife knew that often when I go out, I would often get words on the people before I arrive at the place. And she asked me, did the Lord show you anything? I said, He did. And I told her. She said, you're going to call that out? I mean, it's easy to call out if you're on TV and you got 10 million people out there. Somebody's got a headache. But when you get down detailed like that, it really puts it on the spot. And I said, I don't know. I'm going to wait and see. I arrived at church that night, and as the pastor, and I knew nothing, got up to mention the request and the needs of the church. He mentioned someone, and the Lord spoke to me and said, that's the boy I showed you today. I went over to his wife, Patty, who was playing the instrument. And I said, he just mentioned somebody. I said, who is it? She said, it's a boy in our church that was riding a bike and he got hit by a car and he's in a coma in the hospital now. We don't know if he's going to live or die. I said, oh my. I said, here is my number. Call my wife and you ask her what I told her. The Lord showed me in a vision today. She left the platform and came back a few minutes later crying. And she knew that my wife told her what I told her I saw. I said, you tell the people because I want them to know that this is not being made up, but this is what we call in the book of Corinthians, the gifts of the Spirit. And so she told him. And so I went up now to validate what she had just said in talking to my wife when the Lord spoke to me and said, tell the people that the boy will come out of the coma and he will live. You better be hearing from God and not be operating out of the gift of suspicion when you say something like that. And I've been doing this enough, I know the difference. So I told him, he will come out of the coma. In fact, the Lord is showing me within 2 weeks he will be standing right here in this spot with his hands raised praising the Lord. It happened just that way. When Sister Dixon, who you know, when she had died and I was at the funeral, I was there and sitting at a table was a young man who I didn't recognize. He said, do you know who I am? I said, no. And he said, well, I was in the service many years ago when you got up and said this about this boy that was in a car wreck or got hit by a bike. And he said, it happened just as you said. He was healed and came out of the coma. And, I should have gone on TV and wrote a book about it. Faith. That built my faith up. And I could go on and on and on. And I'm not doing this for the big head, but I'm letting you know what you know already, that it is faith that we need to be, as Brother Jim says, our eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus. Why? The author and finisher of our faith. Be careful that you don't become too critical analysis on character. I've known of people that were used in the gifts of the Spirit and people to criticize them because they didn't think their character lined up. Now, I know the Scripture says that they're to be blameless, but you be careful when you touch God's anointed. And you hear me well. You'll bring trouble to your home by touching God's anointed that God uses. There is a way to solve that problem, but not the way that it's often done with a critical speech behind the scenes. Am I preaching the truth? Yes, I am. God will take care of them. If their character's out of line, just like you, the Lord whom He loveth will chasteneth. But He didn't give them that gift because it was earned. And sometimes our theology has been wrong. And here's the theology. We think if we can get holy enough, we think if we can get enough character, we then deserve the miracle. No. Ask Rahab. Ask the thief on the cross. In fact, when Peter and John were on their way to the temple and they saw the man lame, sitting beside, lame since he was born. Remember, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What do you have? Give I thee. What he had was faith. And the man was healed. And he went away. And he came back thankful. Here's your Thanksgiving sermon. He came back thankful and he began to give accolades. And Peter and John said, whoa, whoa, don't look upon us as though by our own character or holiness this miracle has been wrought. They said, don't look on us as though by our own holiness this miracle was wrought. But it was done because of faith. And that's what we focus on. That's what we emphasize. And may God help us to examine our hearts and examine our conversations. May they be talks that are of faith. And may my words to you be of faith. And may it be encouragement of faith that He is the healer and that He does it. And He is the one that does it. And there be no boasting because it's not of character. And that's not to say character's not important, but if you put too much emphasis on it, it's going to start shutting down, and you're going to end up becoming religious. It's the people who emphasize character who usually don't receive the miracles as much. And that's, again, character's important, but faith is more important. Therefore, brag on faith more. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. If we move forward, not to say we're not moving forward, but I want to say, as the old preacher said, keep on believing. 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 Not keep on faking it. Keep on faithing it. Keep believing. Keep believing. Character will begin to develop. And you know the devil will come to you. And he'll say, you don't deserve a miracle. You're not holy enough. Just tell him you're right. But Jesus was. And because of that, I'm believing. And I'm believing. And the next time you see a preacher that you don't think has the character, careful. It's God that chose to use him. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Listen, in the Old Testament, my Lord, you look at some of them guys, and their character was out of order. There is a biblical way to deal with that. Don't misunderstand me. But not the way that I've often seen it done, with a wrong critical spirit, just to criticize. I want to get my focus and my attention off of that and more on Jesus and his healing power, and keep believing, and God will sort that stuff out. Can I hear an amen? Oh, keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. These signs shall follow them that have character. These signs shall follow them that believe. You should be smiling in this sermon. Not going to tell me what to do. Please. Faith is more important. I want to be building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I thank God that Brother Jim loves the moving of the Spirit of God, because it's in that moving in the Spirit faith can begin to operate and be born. I could brag on each one of you. I just chose him this morning. But people, take a look, back up. This sermon came from God when he asked me, what is more important, character or faith? Wow. I hope I've answered that. They're not in competition. They're both necessary. But the one should get more attention, should pull more of my passion, should pull more of my thoughts than the other. Everything I've said you could be guilty of, I've been guilty of. So I don't come to you with, crossed. How many love to see miracles? It really builds the faith. It really does. If we focus on character, the only way that builds faith, if we realize the character they have, is because God began to work on them. That's the way into it. But oh, this Thanksgiving, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And faith will produce the character in time. In time. All of us are short in certain areas in our character. Nod your head. all of us are short in character in certain areas. But it's Him that's working in us. And when that area gets developed, it's because of my looking to Him. Keep believing. Keep believing. How many need a miracle today? I want to encourage you to believe. It's that simple. It's not a formula, but it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they come to Jesus and they said, and these were the Pharisees trying to get character mixed in. They said, what must we do to the works of God? Because see, they were really into character and the law. And Jesus said, believe on Him. That's doing the work. Believe on Him. The best work you can do is to believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. I love the hymnals that direct us in that area. This morning, she's going to come and sing. She asked if she could sing this morning. I said, sure. But while she's singing, if there's something you're believing God for, doesn't matter to me if you've believed Him and asked Him 1,000 times, but you're still trusting God and believing Him, I want you to stand and to make your way forward. Let's agree together. How many know it's a good thing for a church to believe together? Would you come? And so I conclude, what is more important? I had to answer that. I hope it gets your attention and helps the Holy Spirit develop within us the right priorities. Praise the Lord. He's going to get it.
Yeah.